Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Smith delivers the 0-1. Bryant swings and hits one in the air to deep left center field. Going back is the center fielder, Marshall. Look up. This is gone. A two-run home run by Chris Bryant. And that's quite the start to this ball game. Cubs up 2-0.
It's a glorious day here in the friendly contest.
Rizzo swings and drives one to deep right field. This is gone. Back-to-back home runs for the Cubs. First Bryant, now Rizzo. 3-0 Cubs over the Diamondbacks.
Smith delivers. Bodie swings, hits one in the air. Deep to left field. Way back. Gone.
Welcome back, David Bodie. Points to the sky with his right hand as he rounds second. A two-run home run. David Bodie giving the Cubs a 5-0 lead here in the fourth. The 2-2. Hit in the air. Deep to right field, but playable for Chris Bryant. He's underneath it, coming in, makes the catch. Ball game over. Cubs win. They beat the Diamondbacks 5-1 as the Cubs take 2 of 3 from Arizona this weekend.
Zavala batting .167. And then it's Lance Lynn on deck behind him, trying to strand two base runners nonetheless with two gone here in the inning. And no sooner are the words out of my mouth that Zavala comes through. Jackie Bradley up and throwing. It's too late as Goodwin scores and the Sox are on the board first tonight. And Lynn has a little flare into right field. That's going to score another. The throw to the plate's too late on Zavala and the Sox have struck for three in the second. Lance Lynn's first hit in almost 4 years drives in a pair. Taylor runs, and it's a fly ball into shallow center field that should do it. Hamilton's got it, and the White Sox are able to stave off the sweep this weekend by taking the finale of the series, a pitching and defense game, 3-1, Palhos.
Mully at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow, a lot of fun over the weekend, a lot of fun yesterday. And it's always great to be reminded of it. Our thanks to the fine folks at WSCR on the Cubs highlights and, of course, ESPN on the White Sox highlights last night.
Enjoyed that game more last night, and not to knock A-Rod because that's easy, low-hanging fruit, but I thought Eduardo Perez did a nice job analyzing the game. It was a more enjoyable broadcast. It were these moments that you kind of were cringeworthy. And that was a pretty good commercial for the White Sox. Felt like a nationally televised game. They won it. Lance Lynn did his Shohei Ohtani imitation, and there was a lot to like.
There was a ton to like. They scored the three runs early, and it held up. And that was impressive in and of itself, and it underscored what the White Sox have done, which is good pitching. That's what they're built around. And I would not be surprised, as we talk about the trade deadline, if the only real moves they make are adding to that bullpen, trying to make sure they do indeed have the best bullpen in baseball. That is an important factor in what they're doing moving forward. So we'll see.
That is the context of this week as we wake up Monday morning, 312-644-6767. What will the Sox do with the trade deadline? We know what the Cubs are tempted to do. We know what's at stake. We've been talking about that for a very long time. But I would agree with you, Mully. I think that as this has evolved, you would like a second baseman that has a little bit of oomph in his bat. You would like a lot of these things, but I don't know what they're willing to give up. And I also think that what we have seen to this point, especially over the weekend before last night, a bullpen arm is a priority, and it should be for Rick Hahn, because I do think that there's a need there. Michael Kopech can't do everything. Garrett Crochet still in his first full season. You need a veteran who you can depend upon to build a bridge to Liam Hendricks so he doesn't, before he wears himself out, going two innings every game.
312-644-6767. A lot of people want to check in. We'll get to all your calls. We'll start with our buddy Ron. He's on the south side. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Look here, I am full of excitement. Beloit is back, and Murray is back. I mean, what else can you ask for? What else can you ask for to start a Monday?
Bless you, Ron.
Yeah.
You think I'd ever not come back when Aloy's coming back? I have to work today, for God's sake, and tomorrow, and the rest of my life.
Yeah, I was thinking yesterday, I said, boy, the Sox have to win this game, or Murray will probably be calling in sick on Monday.
Be another week. Be another week, Ron.
So I was really hoping for them to win the game. But, yeah, guys, just having that presence, having that bat in the batting order. And the best thing about it, he's back in plenty of time, you know, to prepare for. Because we know it's going to take a little while, but I did hear his batting coach from Charlotte say that he is ready. But it'll take him just a little time, but it's enough time to be ready for the playoffs. So that's good. So, guys, you all have a good day.
Thanks, Ron.
All right, Ron, God bless you.
He was talking about Aloy being ready for the playoffs, right? Not you.
Okay. Listen, I'm shot out of a cannon about the playoffs. I mean, honestly, and I get it. The Sox are bum slayers, right? Oh, they struggle against 500 teams. Oh, all nonsense to me, because it's just noise, because we haven't seen the Sox yet at full strength. And once they get everybody back, once this is the team we thought they'd have going into the season, and by the way, they have added a lot of pieces that are helping them pretty significantly. Yeah. And we were talking about it during the break, how you're going to squeeze that roster, how you're going to figure out who's on this team. But, I mean, Aloy is on the team. He's an essential part of it. He's their best young hitter, power hitter. One of the great ones in the game.
Absolutely.
So you give him some time. Ron's right. Try not to demand three home runs tonight like Molly did earlier. But no, I wouldn't consider
those kind of conversations about who the Sox haven't beaten because they have had all the injuries. That's just empty rhetoric. It's misplaced. It's, and I think you have to be fair when you're evaluating how they are going to do with a full lineup, with Grandal, with Luis Robert, with Eloy Jimenez in the lineup at the same time.
Right.
Imagine that. That hasn't happened yet this year. And yet, where are they as we wake up this morning? They have a 9-game lead, and they're comfortably atop the division, and they look like still one of the best teams after losing 2 out of 3 in the American League.
Let's try Bob. Bob's in Downers Grove. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey guys. How you doing?
Good.
You know, I wanted to talk about the basketball game. Just a couple things. First of all, why, outside of Dame Lillard and Durant, why do we have our fourth string there? I mean, where's LeBron James, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis? Where are these guys? Did they not want to play? I don't know, seriously. And second of all, after watching the whole NBA playoffs, the way that NBA players are allowed to get away with flopping is almost unwatchable. I mean, it makes the European soccer players look like nothing. I mean, so, and they're not getting away with that. They were told, I mean, pretty much in those preseason games or the preliminary games, that they weren't going to get away with that stuff. And now they have to go out and make real shots, and they can't do it. I mean, it's absolutely just astonishing. I just want to see, like, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis get off a private jet in Tokyo and just start walking into the jet. Like,
well,
I mean, I'm pretty sure the rest of the world said Steph Curry can't play.
Aren't they all in recovery? Aren't they all hurt, injured, and trying to get back?
I think each guy has a different explanation, but I think collectively there's a lot that you're missing there. And that's why you know what?
They all played before. It's not like they're
– Sure.
I mean, it's. I'm just
they've
saying.
They've had their moments.
They've had their moments on the national stage. At least
there's
got
to be a changing of the guard, doesn't
LeBron.
There? There has to be kind of an evolution of the next wave and the next kind of group of a young talent that you can trust. And
Kevin Durant should be able to score 50 points in a game, okay?
Or at least take more than 10 shots.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
So why are they not playing well enough?
The only question I would have, the biggest question I would have about roster construction would be, I'm with Trae Young, who tweeted out his displeasure and maybe asked the question,
Why am I not on that team?
It's a fair question after watching yesterday.
No shadow of a doubt.
Shot makers.
Yeah.
Playmakers.
You could use shot makers.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing, David. I think that they don't have like a dominant big man. So when Pop talks about score on the inside, they don't really have an inside score.
That's a good point, too.
If they had that kind of a player, then
balance.
Maybe they – yes.
But you wonder, Mully, because the way they've handled being down when they fell behind or even protecting the lead, would they ignore that big force in the middle because they'd like to just sit outside the three-point line and chuck up shots?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's definitely happening. Let's try John. John is in Joliet. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. You know, first of all, watching all these innings of baseball this weekend really, really gave me a great feeling that these White Sox deserve to be there. But some of the mistakes that they did make on the bases, just things that just make you scratch your head. Hopefully we can work that out and get into the playoffs and things will be a little better. But what I'm talking about is the Olympics. The Olympics is so confusing. It's like my wife bringing a box home from IKEA and handing me the directions because I don't know what the hell to do. I mean, yesterday there was an event, guys. There was a triathlon where they started the race and it was a speedboat blocking about 25 entrants. I swear to God, you got to see the video. They had to stop the swimmers that were halfway out in the water and bring them back and start it over again. That was crazy.
I mean, I got to tell you.
Thanks, John.
I get that. I think you guys are absolutely right. I think that they need to explain more about where the big moments are going to be. Like Katie Ledecky did not want a silver, not a gold. It's a huge moment, right? The women's gymnastic team, Simone Biles, misstepped. These are things that I want to see and I want to watch. And I know they're doing like a wrap-up show.
Yeah.
But as they're broadcasting this stuff, it's utterly confusing as to what's going to be on and where it's going to be. Having said that, I have watched a ton of it already. And I watched this men's handball. Have you seen this at all? I don't think I'd ever really seen this sport. And it was, I'm sitting there like, I'm watching the Danes beat the Japanese. And apparently the Danes are the reigning gold medal winners. And they're this great men's handball team. And I'm just thinking to myself, surely we could put together a men's handball team from like the CBA and win a gold medal. You know, I mean, it's like you got a ball and you're on a perimeter and then you're just throwing it, you know, maybe, okay, go get some minor league pitchers. And you basically throw the ball. You score every time you come down. And the Japanese kept pulling the goalie. So they had an extra man in attack. And then, like, the Danish goalie saves one and throws the ball the length of the court and scores a goal or whatever the hell they call it. But I'm watching this sport, and I'm like, surely we could win this in America.
Yeah,
can't we win this, please?
I'm not sure that I would watch it. I mean, that's a threat.
It was so cool.
I know. I get it.
David, but I watched ping pong for 45 minutes.
I get it.
It was unbelievable.
God bless America.
How good are they at ping pong? The world, I'm saying.
But the thing is that John points out a couple of things that are just human nature as the American consumer, the sports fan. Okay, number one, the time difference is significant in these Olympics because we're so used to watching things in real time as they happen. We're following things on Twitter as they happen. By the time you sit down tonight to watch what happened today,
yeah,
you're going to already know what happened.
Right.
And how much are you going to be drawn to your television set? And, you know, frankly, Mully, once you do commit the time to watch what you're describing, which is great, I think it's hard to find what you want to see. And it's hard to know how to compare what's on the USA Network with what's on Peacock,
yeah,
with what's on the NBC channel, with what am I supposed to watch?
Right.
Can you have somebody just streamline it and give me the Olympic highlights? And this is exactly what I miss because I want to see what I'm supposed to see. So as a basketball fan, for instance, we're sitting here as we are going on the air this morning, and it's early. And Luka Doncic has already scored 48 points today. Okay.
Wow.
Now you talk about, I may stand corrected. I called Kevin Durant the best player in the world. Well, right now, after that 48 performance, there's some people calling Luka Doncic the best player in the world. And I want to see that somehow. Now, I don't know if it's going to be on NBC. I doubt it. But I guess the point is that there's so much happening that I want it condensed in a nice digestible form so I can understand what's important and what isn't. And I just don't know if these Olympics, that's happened yet, at least for me.
They need a red zone channel for the Olympics almost. Seriously. Well,
I'm not, like, no, I'm not arguing. I agree with you.
If you're interested, like, here's where everything is. But if you want to be, like, informed, like, up to the minute.
Absolutely.
Kind of. I would say it would have to be an American slant, right? You want to know what the American people are doing in the Olympics. And that kind of again, you just brought up USA as an example. Are they part of this?
Yes.
Okay, see, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they are. They are part of
this. I've been clicking between my local five and my national NBC Sports Network.
1640 on your dial.
Yeah, so I've been going back and forth between 1005 and 1640.
Okay.
That's it. I didn't even know USA was part of it.
I respect all of the handballs and all of the beach volleyballs because, I mean, I have covered Olympics, and I know the drama that is built into these events and all the sacrifices that are made to get to that stage. But I just want to know, I just want to be able to find it, enjoy it, and put it into some sort of context before. And I just think it's been hard, and maybe I'm not trying hard enough, but I just think it's been difficult so far for these Olympics.
Juwan Liu, is that the name of the American woman ping pong player? So apparently this woman was born in China and went into like ping pong school at the age of 7. I'm not making this up.
I know they have that.
Now she's American and she runs some gym someplace, I don't know. And she's now representing the US in ping pong, and I'm watching this and it's like, you know, we've all played ping pong, but we've never played ping pong like this. Mother of God.
Well,
it's like the spin on the ball.
Like
the
way, table tennis.
What are you? Are you now you're going to claim that you could beat her in ping pong? Is that it? You
absolutely
just said,
not.
Well,
no.
Well.
No. I mean, it's ping pong, and it's like that makes it sound like something we all play in our basements, right?
It is.
And this is a very refined sport.
You've been schooled since age 7.
It's like skateboarding though, right? Like skateboarding for us at this point, unless you have a son or a daughter that grew up skateboarding or you did, I didn't and I don't.
Yes.
It's like you're watching it. Now, it's really pretty neat and it's definitely hard.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, is this an Olympic sport?
Get off my lawn.
Right?
Well, I mean,
and a little bit of that.
So you know the history of skateboarding, right? It started kind of in San Diego when the off season came and you couldn't really be surfing, they started just going into empty pools and jumping in on their skateboard. And basically that's why the walls are the way they are and all that stuff. It's a whole group of kind of young kids that were doing this. And the Americans yesterday, whoever the favorite is, he took a terrible spill. He took a bad fall. But some kid from Philadelphia ended up winning the gold medal, I think. You know, just all of a sudden there's like another skateboarder who's, you know, riding down the rail and doing all. I mean, it's just
good
extraordinary.
Depth on our team.
Oh, depth. My God. Look around the country.
773 Texter. Luka was live on NBC Sports Network.
Ah, okay. 1640.
Whatever option that is. I mean.
You taped it then.
I did not tape it, but Luka scoring 48 is something I would watch if I did tape it.
All right, we've got the pick six next. We're going to get to the pick six, and we've got Bobby Vassilopoulos live from Tokyo after that. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you learn about the White Sox this weekend, and what was billed as a World Series preview? Did anything that happened change your thinking about their priorities headed toward Friday's trade deadline?
Yeah, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I really find this interesting, because I think that the White Sox, what they actually learned, I don't think it was a World Series preview. I think what they learned is that they need all of their guys back. And I think the very fact that they have so many players coming back, look, bullpen help, and if you want to get a second baseman, feel free. Now, Adam Frazier is going to the Padres. He's apparently going to play the outfield there. They're going to move him to right or left field. God bless them, whatever they have to do. They're in a very tough division, and everybody is angling to make the playoffs. We know that supposedly Kimbrel is going to wind up with the Dodgers. Everybody in that division is probably going to make some kind of move to better themselves. I'll be very curious to see if the Giants do anything. But as far as the Sox are concerned, is the Escobar thing dead? I would still be interested in adding him as a piece to the infield. I think that I think that they will have enough if they get everyone back. I'm worried about Grandal. I want to see him back. That would be a very important piece to get back in time. And, I think bullpen help is number one on my list right now.
As far as learning, I don't know that there was any great revelation about the White Sox in Milwaukee. It was fun to call it a World Series preview. It was fun to go into a series against the Brewers and feel like the stakes could be higher when they meet in October, if they meet in October, 3 months from today in Game 1 of the World Series. But I don't know that we learned anything that we didn't know. They could use some oomph offensively, and they're going to get some today when Eloy comes back. They'll get more when Luis Robert returns, and even more when Grandal comes back. So that is encouraging. As far as did anything happen to change your thinking, I think they always, if Escobar wanted to stay in Chicago after being here with the Diamondbacks, that would be okay with everybody, because they could probably use him. But I think bullpen arm has emerged as the number one priority. You look around baseball and you see some relievers being dangled. I like the name Daniel Hudson, the former White Sox draft pick who's been well-traveled, but now with the Nationals. was the guy who won the World Series game on the mound when that happened. So he is apparently on the market. He'd be a good fit in that bullpen. Somebody to take some of the pressure off Kopech and Liam Hendricks because they can't pitch every day.
A pick six to end the half.
Down goes Frazier.
Did the Padres beat the White Sox to the punch in trading for Pirates second baseman Adam Frazier? The Padres gave up three prospects and received $1.4 million in cash with Frazier. So was this a reasonable price? And where does this leave the Sox, not to mention the NL West?
I think it's definitely a good move for the Padres. They get a guy that was one of the more sought-after infielder slash outfielders on the market. And the fact that they got the cash to take him, and very interesting deal, very interesting trade. You wonder if the White Sox were involved. It looked like the Mariners and the Padres were the final two teams to be talking about Adam Frazier. And you wonder how motivated the Sox were. It says to me, without knowing more to the story, that the Sox aren't looking at this week as they're not going into it with a sense of desperation. Because if they were, they might have gotten involved at the 11th hour to see if they could make a deal that was more enticing. So I definitely think that Frazier goes to the National League. The Padres are fortified. They are definitely looking like a playoff team, and this feels like the move that, if they use him wisely, could give them a little bit of an edge over one of the other NL West teams that I think are, you know, are competing for that the division title there.
Yeah, you know, Adam Frazier's had a good career, and he's having a incredible year. He's an all-star, and I think that the price, because of how well he has played this year, the price has gone up. He's leading Major League Baseball in hits. And this is a guy that made the All-Star team. This is a guy that has another year under contract. So the White Sox are looking for some help because Madrigal is going to come back next year, and they think that he's their long-term solution at second base. So if you trade for an Adam Frazier, I think he fit perfectly what the Sox could use. But the fact is that you know, three prospects were given up for him, three really good prospects, and that's a better haul than you're going to get out of the White Sox. So I think that it made sense for the Pirates to trade him. The extra year of control is what you pay for, and the Sox don't really need that. So what would they do? Would they move him to the outfield a year from now? I just think that it wasn't the right deal.
A pick six of 100 yards!
A fan bought number 17 jerseys and distributed them in the Wrigley Field section where Tom Ricketts sits, hoping to sway the Cubs chairman not to trade Chris Bryant, who homered on Sunday. What are the chances Ricketts injects himself into the equation concerning Bryant or any of the other popular Cubs who could be traded by Friday? If Bryant leaves, will you hold Ricketts more responsible than Jed Hoyer?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, I think it's a nice thing to do. I think it's very nice to have the disposable income to buy a bunch of Chris Bryant jerseys. That seems like you're adding to the Cubs' coffers. But I don't know that that's going to affect Tom's decision or the economic realities that are facing the Cubs. And I think that it would be hard to get a contract done with Chris Bryant because of Scott Boras, because of all the things that are around him. I don't think you're getting any kind of hometown discount. Maybe you'd get a slight discount than some team that ends up signing him, but I don't think it's going to be the kind of discount that they would hope for. So I think the decision was made long ago that they are not going to be they're not going to be moving forward with Chris Bryant. So that would mean either you trade him now or you get the draft pick compensation later. And I think that they'd have to look at whatever the deal is now and compare it to the draft pick compensation. But I don't think Chris Bryant's going to be here long term.
And that responsibility will be shared. And I think it's easy to point the finger at ownership with Tom Ricketts, and because they weren't maybe budgeted to have able to afford that kind of contract in the past. Or I can't imagine it's a baseball decision, but now it's going to be a baseball decision if you trade Chris Bryant because you want to get assets back in return.
Right.
The prospects, if you're able to get a highly enough regarded prospect, it makes sense from a baseball point of view. But as I maintain, the Cubs will regret trading Chris Bryant. And in that regret, people will look back and assign blame and responsibility to both men. It will be a shared responsibility. And you can throw in Theo Epstein as well as history kind of remembers this or records this, because he didn't get it done when they were negotiating with Chris Bryant earlier before it got to this point. It should have never gotten to this point. If you have a generational talent, as some people believe that Chris Bryant is, and I know that's some people will cringe even hearing it referred to it that way, but you want to lock him up as best you can, and the Cubs were unable to do that, and that's a shared responsibility.
Pick six!
What do you make of the U.S.'s chances for a gold medal after losing to France in their first game of group play, given their struggles in exhibitions, and now this? What is the message this team is sending?
We don't know each other. We don't know what we're doing. We can't play together. Pop needs to go. No, I mean, all those things are overreactions. But the message is there, is that this team looks a little bit discombobulated. They just don't seem to have team chemistry that you need to win at this level. And I don't have a great deal of confidence that they're going to figure it out in the next 10 days or 2 weeks that it requires for them to win the gold medal. So I'm very curious to see how they respond after losing. They won't be challenged as much as they were yesterday in the next couple games, perhaps. But once it gets into the medal round, then it will be very interesting.
Well, they stumbled into Tokyo, and they carried that on, frankly, in the game, in the loss to France. And they do look like a team that does not know each other, doesn't know their opponent, doesn't play defense, doesn't know how to finish. These are all the messages they've been sending since they got together. I think the number one message that I hear is the whisper, and I'm not sure it is, just the, we're not good enough. We are not good enough. And when they lose come the medal round, we are not good enough. I think it's going to be screamed from the mountaintops. I think this is a team that isn't necessarily the best of the NBA, isn't the best of America, but should be good enough to win. It should be built around Durant, should get better shots and more of them for Dame Lillard. And there is enough here to win. It's just they don't play together. It's that simple.
Pick six! Wow!
What is the biggest reason the Bears traded Anthony Miller to the Texans? And do you think he'll be missed among a receiving core that really can't be called proven beyond Allen Robinson?
You know, I don't think he'll be missed at all. I don't know how his career will change. I hope it gets better. I hope that that he improves. But I would say the message is that he's unreliable, that you could not rely upon him to give you the kind of performance you needed in the moments you had to have him. When you're thrown out of a playoff game, that was 7-3 at that point, I believe, when he was thrown out of the game.
It was close.
It was a close game.
Yeah.
The Bears, you know, I thought the Bears could beat the Saints, and I know that that was terribly wrong, but I kind of predicted them to win because I thought the Saints were ripe for the picking. I just didn't think the Saints were playing great. They hadn't been together all year. That was not a team that scared me. And I thought the Bears played very well defensively in the first half of the game, and they were in the game. Losing a player is just, it's just so wasteful. It was such a stupid thing. We know they had sat down and told them, this is a guy that's going to get in your head. This is a guy that's going to push buttons. Don't respond. Don't respond. Okay, I'm going to punch a guy in a football game and get thrown out. That just underscored how unreliable and how not trustworthy he was, and that's why he's
well,
gone.
He had betrayed their trust, and that's the biggest reason he's gone.
Yep.
You can't have a guy who is as undependable as he became. He has tremendous talent, and they moved up to get him because of that. And he showed some glimpses. And I think that, against everyone else except for maybe the Detroit Lions, Anthony Miller did not live up to expectations, and he fell short of his potential too often. And so now you have a receiving core that outside of Allen Robinson, look, Darnell Mooney had a terrific rookie year, but it was a rookie season. Let's see him do it again before you start to feel better about the receiving core. They've got a long way to go before I put the proven label on that that receiving group. So they won't miss what you never had, and that's Anthony Miller's, absence in a nutshell.
This
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
Oh, brother, the Hawks were at it, trading for all-star defenseman Seth Jones, Caleb's brother, and drafting Colton Dock, Kirby's brother. Were these the best hockey moves or PR moves? A fair question in light of the scandal looming over the entire organization.
It is a fair question. I wonder about these hockey moves. Are they rebuilding? If you're rebuilding, you're getting rid of a first-round draft pick and a 20-year-old defenseman, and you're adding that kind of salary. I like Seth Jones as a player. I think last year was an aberration in the course of his career. But what are you doing, Blackhawks? I don't know if this weekend felt like a very gimmicky to me. They had a press conference on a boat. They drafted Kirby Dock's brother. And I understand that we all are mature enough to compartmentalize hockey thoughts from everything else. But it's difficult right now until we hear from Danny Wirtz. Danny Wirtz needs to stand up, stand tall, say something, because we have heard nothing except for Stan Bowman lowering up last week in regard to this lawsuit. And that's disappointing from a Blackhawk fan perspective and seeing everything else from the hockey standpoint. So, yeah, big weekend for the Hawks, but I don't know if how much better they got. And frankly, until we hear some more clarity about this and hear them, you know, do the right thing, say the right thing, say something, I don't know how much I care.
Woo Hawks, baby. That is what was yelled out by Kirby Dock as he interrupted the little Zoom call his brother was giving after being drafted by the Blackhawks, came in, hugged his bro, was kind of half-choking him. I thought that was the best moment of the weekend for the Blackhawks, including the Seth Jones trade and contract. You know, they gave up a lot for Seth Jones. They gave up a ton, frankly, in draft picks and in assets. You know, you invest all that money into a guy, give him an 8-year deal. I mean, you're back to basically having one of these contracts that's going to hang over the organization in the future. Let's hope he's as good as they think he is. Let's hope that last year isn't the real carryover. Let's hope that, you know, the guy looks like a player. He is the player that he looks like, not the guy that the analysts think he might be, given the fact that the analytics suggest that he's going the wrong way. So here's hoping that works out. Yeah, there's a little bit of distraction there, no question about it. But I love that moment with the Dock brothers. I thought that was awesome. All right, we're gonna get to Tokyo. Bobby V will join us next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Lillard puts it up. Holiday. No, and that will do it. So France has beaten the United States in the first game in Pool A. Final score 83-76. And perhaps the biggest concern for the United States, France ending the game on a 16-2 run. So France turning it on late, and they get the win.
Oh, whoa, what? That's not supposed to happen. The U.S. goes down in men's basketball. We'll see. We'll see if they can get back, and they're expected to. But right now, we are delighted to welcome in our man in Japan. He's Bob Vassilopoulos, and our thanks to NBC for the highlight. And Bobby V joins us on the Home Run In hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. Bob, good morning. How are you?
Hey, konnichiwa. Can I get one of those Home Run In pizzas on Uber Eats?
Cook it on your hibachi.
Yeah, my God. So much to talk about here. First, let me just bring you up on the day. I watched Luka Doncic just light up the Argentine team, and the Argentine coach said afterwards, no doubt in his mind that he is the best player in the whole world, and that includes the NBA.
Wow.
And it was phenomenal. And listen to this. He hits him for 48, goes to the coach and says, take me out. Coach says, stay in there, because he finished second in scoring all-time record for men in the Olympics. And he was close to breaking the record. And coach says, stay in, break the record. And he says, no. And he sits down, and he has the coach put somebody else in. That speaks volumes of the kid.
What about the guy who's supposed to be the best player in the world? What about Kevin Durant, Bobby V? Why did he only get 10 shots, and what was his reaction post-game?
I wish I'd have known. They passed us by, didn't even talk to us. You know, they went in the back. Although I do give Kevin give Kevin credit, he stopped for the hot girl from Azteca. But at 62 years old, I don't do it for him, I guess. But,
wow.
Anyway, so the thing is, you know, I mean, he's taking shots and 1 for 6 from three, and you know, and listen, is Kevin Durant good? There's no question that he's good. Let's not forget that game against the Bucks. I mean, the guy was magic, and maybe something switches off when you come over here. You know, the refs are different. You know, you look at them wrong, they tee you up. You can't call timeouts when you want them. I mean, the routine that they're on is broken. And obvious, and now I've read some things. I don't know how much of it is true, that there's pushback against Pop and the things he runs. And, you know, you guys remember, Mully, you know, I mean, for Michael, they do the WTF play, you know, where just when, you know, clear him out, let Michael do his thing. And you know what? And if Michael were out here last night, they would never have lost, because he would have never let it happen. And what is it that some of these guys just don't have it when they need it? I don't get it. You know, you'd think their pride and everything else would have been on the line and they would have been out there. The only guy that showed up was the guy that showed up, you know, how many hours before in Holiday.
Right.
You know, he gets off a plane, he still smells of stale champagne, and he almost, you know, made a difference last night. It would have been a great story.
Yeah, Bob, I watched that game.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I watched that game, and what stunned me was the 16-2 ending. They go up 7 points, and they just stop playing. Mm-hmm. And then the minute they trail, they come down. They got 4 3-point attempts on one possession, and they can't hit a three? That was just insane to me.
Right. Yeah, LaVine was one of them, right?
Yes.
I mean, it was amazing. And you know what? I mean, God, you know, you got to give credit to the French. I talked to Rudy Gobert afterwards, and, you know, he's just phenomenal. And just to watch him play, I'd never seen him in person. I mean, he's a 7-foot ballerina. He caught the ball. There was one point he got the ball. He did a pirouette. I mean, it was magic. I wish I could have watched it in slow motion. He just, you know, it's just amazing how agile he is at his size. And he couldn't have been nicer. So he stops. We do an interview. I said, you know, because we do international for Olympic broadcasting. I said, can you do it now in French? He goes off on a minute. I mean, Steve Stone would have been proud of him. He just did a complete thing, and I'm sitting there nodding, you know. And the only thing I know in French is fries, right? And at the end, he's just, you know, couldn't have been nicer. All of those guys. And you know what? You find yourself rooting for him. You know, like the redhead kid from Italy that looks like the Notre Dame mascot. He, you know, I said, can you do it in Italian? He said, my Italian's not so good, and if I get a little something wrong, they're going to kill me over there. That's what I love. I just love stories of these, you know, these kids and these people, and it's just tremendous. If I could go off on a rant,
sure.
I hate to ramble here, but just one quick thing. 529 players in the NBA out of the 30 teams, 107 were foreign players from 41 countries. The NBA is no longer what the NBA was. It's become a world league, and clearly that was evident last night.
So are you sensing pushback from players? Are those the kind of stories being circulated around Tokyo? Because Greg Popovich is as grumpy as ever. He is in midseason form.
Well, he came off and he passed us by, and he looked like, George Carlin at the end there. I mean, he just looked drawn in the beard and the whole thing. And I just wish, show a little grace. Yeah, I interviewed the kid from Nigeria from the Heat that lost. God, why can't I think of his name now? And he stopped, you know, Okafor. Couldn't have been nicer. Hey, they had a tough loss. And I just wish they'd show a little grace. You know, just you can't have the swagger if you haven't done it. You know, and so far, you know, there's that whole thing. They lost in 2004, and Colangelo came in, and he wanted to make these, you know, these teams – together for what, 2 or 3 years and form a national team. Like, these all are national teams, guys that have been together for a while. And, you know, I just wish somebody would have stepped up. I mean, KD should have just stepped up. I don't know where that was. You know, we all saw it in Michael. Michael would have never, I keep bringing that up, and I don't know why, but we would have never seen him let that game get away last night.
Yeah, it was fascinating. Dustin brought the same point up. We talked about it earlier. And, you know, I think it was Steve Kerr who said that talent-wise, and again, you know, he's talking about size and he's talking about ability, that Kevin Durant brings more to the table than any basketball player ever. But you're right. I mean, Michael Jordan was a killer and would never have let that loss happen. And I know Pop says that he spent 2 years thinking about that, the French team, and going over what they do and all this stuff. And yet they're not running whatever he wants them to run. They didn't play a lick of defense, Bob.
Oh, I didn't see anything that resembled any kind of sets. And they were talking about that. I read where it's just a basic structure and he can't really call things. And listen, they got rattled. They came in here. They had the opportunity. They should have finished. I looked at that bench. I was 20 feet away. I'm looking at that bench and I'm saying, oh my God, you're telling me what? These guys can't go out and finish this off? Listen, the positive is it's a round robin. The first two of the three groups get in, plus the best two third place finishers. It's an automatic that they're going to get in. I mean, they play Iran next, who hasn't won in 78 years in Olympic competition. And if they pull it, and if Iran pulls it up, free falafels for everyone. That ain't happening, you know, on Wednesday. So anyway, it's just a little frustrating to watch guys that wear the USA jersey go out there and lay an egg like that. Not taking anything away from the French, like I said, those guys were phenomenal. That Evan Fontier, Fournier,
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah,
Fournier, I like a street rat. You know, I mean, the kid worked hard. All those guys worked hard.
I was telling David, I saw a picture on Twitter. Someone photoshopped Kevin Durant into a France uniform, high-fiving Evan Fournier. You know, he's now joining them because he couldn't beat them.
Great stuff, Bob.
Yeah, Well, listen, guys, thanks for calling. Hey, and is La Russa named Lance Lynn the cleanup hitter yet or no?
That's right, awesome. See you, Bob.
Pleasure.
God Take bless, care. Buddy. That's our See guy, you, Bob Vassilopoulos.
Good luck finding a pizza.
We got to mail him a home run in, huh? We got to do
about
it.
That?
That's what he's missing.
I wonder next time we can talk to him about the absence of the crowd and how that affects the intensity level maybe of these guys who they should be used to playing in a bubble based on last year. But you know what? They looked like they were bored.
Oh, my God.
And listless.
Well, we'll see if they can get over that, because I don't know how, you know, when you're playing the French and you have ennui, that's not good.
No.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.